We talk a lot on this podcast about chess improvement, but when it comes to improving your hiring processes, Indeed is the platform you need. Indeed has over 350 million global monthly visitors, and it has a matching engine that helps you find quality work candidates fast. You can use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Years ago, when I was running a chess teaching business, I found it hard to find good help, and I had to go through a lot of back and forth to even screen potential candidates. Indeed allows you to do those things efficiently in one place. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed for hiring, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of Perpetual Chess will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility if you go to Indeed.com/chess. Just go to Indeed.com/chess right now, and you'll be supporting our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast, Indeed.com/chess. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Perpetual Chess bonus pod. I thought it would be a good time to check in on the Women's World Championship, which is at the halfway point as we record this here on Wednesday, July 12th. And we have a great guest to discuss it. But first, and I would introduce her momentarily, but first, I just wanted to go through a few basic facts about the match for anyone who needs to be caught up on it. It, of course, features the champion, Zhu Wenjun, 32 years of age, rated 2564, playing Lei Tingzhe, 26 years of age, rated 2554. It's been a tightly contested match. The challenger, Lei Tingzhe, actually has the lead, 3.5 to 2.5. Again, it's a 12-game match, and this is the halfway point. We're recording on Wednesday, and they will resume in a couple of days. They actually switch cities. It's in two different cities in China. They have been in Shanghai, and now they will switch to Chongqing, which I'm probably saying wrong. I apologize. But they will be switching venues, and the games have been really interesting. Even the draws have been hard fought. In my non-grandmaster opinion, you could say the games have been very well played. Not a lot of errors, and the game that Lei Tingzhe won in game five, I thought was particularly instructive, as we will discuss with our guest. And our guest is one of the best players in the United States. She is a student at the University of Missouri. She played for the Olympiad team, both for her native Uzbekistan, and more recently, she was board one for the United States, which had a great showing in the most recent Olympiad. I've been a fan of hers since I heard her on Cover Stories with Chess Life, the podcast by John Hartman. You can hear lots more about her background in episode 49 of that. But here we're going to discuss the match and then catch up a little bit. And let's welcome Beijing Tokhirjanova to the pod. Welcome, Beijing.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry, can you, how did I do with your name?
Oh, you did it great. It's Beijing Tokhirjanova, so you got it. Great.
Okay, Beijing, my apologies. So Beijing, I know you've been covering this match for Chess Life Online. You've been annotating the games. What are your reflections on the games? Has anything stood out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was impressed by Li Tingji's opening choices and opening preparation in general. I have a feeling she has been putting pressure since day one to the world champion. So Yu Wenjun was struggling and trying to find, kind of like sidelines during the game. It felt like she know, of course, she knows a lot. She knows where she can, equalize easily or try for advantage, but it felt like she was a little bit scared of Li Tingji's openings.
Yeah, and Lei Tingjie, both seconds, I don't know if they have more than one person working on their team, but both players have had at least 1 second reveal. Lei Tingjie is there with Timur Rajabov, Super Grandmaster, and Zhu Wenjun is there with Grandmaster Pantala Hari Krishna. Both obviously know their openings inside and out. Just as a chess fan, my perspective, Begum, has been that it's fun openings to follow. I mean, we've had a couple Roy Lopez's, we've had the Italian opening. When Lei Tingjie has the white pieces, and with black, we're getting a lot of sort of classic Tarrasch, Queen's Gambit Decline, semi-Tarrasch type openings. Do you enjoy these sort of classical openings that we're seeing?
Absolutely. I enjoy every opening, actually. I want to like see new things and I want to see classical like old lines and because they improve it. Well, especially while you're preparing for the match, you review old things and you add some new lines, some new ideas, even though you can see like engines always say it's equal, it's just a new idea and it's just hard to play. So it's interesting for me to think for myself and figure out what would I do despite what engine suggests. And as you mentioned, Li Tingji has Timur Rajabov, who's known for like especially with white pieces, but in general, who's known for his great opening preparation, and you can see how much strength he brought to opening preparation of Li Tingji as well.
Yeah, and they both come across as pretty likable in the press conferences. I think Lei Tingjie might be a little more forthcoming. She said, and I quote, "When and they're asked about their favorite sport, Zhu Wenjun says, 'Can I choose chess?'" Lei Tingjie said was asked about how she handled the pandemic. She said, "As a professional chess player, if you don't have tournaments to play or you want to chase then go some goals, then just stay home and train. There's nothing I'm worried about in my life, so I can just focus on chess totally." And they both sort of have this sort of easygoing nature. So that's another aspect of the match I've enjoyed.
Actually, I saw that yesterday, and exactly, I read the same thing you did, and I was like, you're so right. And
Yeah.
for chess, especially, it's very important not to have any extra worries. That's why lots of chess players, and especially strong chess players, they already always have someone who manages everything for them. So in general, not having any worries makes you enjoy chess more because you love chess as a chess player, right? Or as a professional chess player. But if you have to worry about something else during the game, it's a totally different thing. And but when you can focus and you love the game, you can work on it. It's like a perfect combination of becoming a strong chess player. And for Li Tingjie, I guess it's perfect time to become a world champion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at this point she would be considered the favorite. I think to the extent that there were betting markets available, shout out to the Chicken Chess Club podcast when I heard them discuss it. The one market they found, Zhu Wenjun was the favorite, although rating wise, obviously they're very close. But certainly with Lei Tingjie now having the lead, you'd have to think the ball's in her court. And as we think with 6 games left, we start to wonder about potential opening changes. Of course, Zhu Wenjun has been playing double king pawn, playing very solid, but at some point you have to wonder. She's played a lot of Nydorfs in her career. Do you think that we will see a change? And if so, if you were playing, when would you think about going for something more dynamic? Would you do it with 3 blacks left or wait till two? What do you think?
I think I would try to get my point back as soon as possible because I won't be able to sleep. I'm like, what's going on? And as a world champion, you just don't want to have that have that pressure for a long time because you used to put pressure on your opponents, especially if you see the history of Ju Wenjun. She doesn't really have like these kind of situations for a long time, right? And I think she would like to try with white, but the problem with white is she really doesn't have anything else than this d4, c4, knight f3, and knight f3, knight c3, e3 line she's playing. She tried d takes c5, but like she's not getting anything. Maybe she needs to switch to e4, which she doesn't play, to get more game, or she needs to try with black to win. It's just a hard situation, and it's hard to say something without knowing what she prepared for the match because it's a different, totally preparation situation. And I bet they prepared for all of the like possible outcomes in the match. They, of course, considered what happens if they are like a point down and they have like must-win situation. That's the strategy you think of before the match, not necessarily during the match. So it's just hard for me to say anything without knowing.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. In the modern opening era, it does feel like more of a tough situation than in prior eras, just because it seems like it's tough to expect much with white. You know, it's not like you can count on getting a big edge with the white pieces. And as you say, it seems like her venturing e4 at this point would be a surprise. But I guess it wouldn't be too surprising if she tried some sort of d4 sideline. That might be, as you say today, she tried taking on d5 right away. Didn't seem to lead to much, but maybe we'll see like a London or a Tory or a Trompovsky. I always are like a ready. I always venture to these sort of somewhat less explored, although everything's explored these days, D4 lines with white. And as you say, with black, it's not that easy either, because you would think if she plays the Sicilian and Lay Ting Jie still has the lead, personally, I'd be surprised to see an open Sicilian. Do you think we'd see an open Sicilian or like a Moscow variation?
I would love to see open Sicilian.
I would
I
love to
think
see it, but are we going to?
it's, I know. That's the question we have. Maybe she's gonna play that because Ju plays c5 with black, and she's a successful chess player in general in every line. So I hope to see more fighting chess, but I have a feeling she wanted to she wanted to play with Lay Ting Jie, not necessarily in the opening, but like middle game. She was trying to do that. And at some point, even with black pieces, she got a very good like position with two bishops and everything, but it wasn't enough. But I have a feeling that she focused and still wants to focus on middle game more than openings.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, to the extent she does try anything in the opening, they do have an extra rest day now, although there's some travel involved. I actually forgot to check. Do you know, like, is this a big trip going from Shanghai to Chongqing?
I don't know the distance
Yeah.
actually, but I know that they're changing. So, but I don't feel like it's that long to make chess players uncomfortable.
Yeah, in the modern era, I'm sure they're traveling relatively comfortably and can pretty much just focus on the chess. So again, next up, do you know who will be white in game seven? Do they continue to alternate?
It's gonna be Lay Ting Jie, I
Okay,
think.
Lay Ting Jie. So yeah, so Ju Wenjun, we'll get some more information then, whether we get a Sicilian defense in Beijing. Let me ask you, have you played either of these great players?
Yeah, I played both of them. I played a match with Ju Wenjun in 2018, actually. At that time, it was World Championship knockout system, World Championship in Ханты-Мансийск, and she knocked me out with. So it was my fourth match and one of the best tournaments of my life. I made it to top eight in that tournament, and then I lost against Ju Wenjun there. It was painful.
Oh, I'm sorry to bring it up.
You're totally fine. And
And
with Lay Ting Jie, when I was playing in Uzbekistan for Uzbekistan, I played Couple of games I believe against her, but I do remember I played one game. Maybe it was Blitz or Rapid in Asian Teams Championship or something like, but something like that. But I played with both of them for sure.
Okay. And did you get a chance to go over the games with them at all? It sounds like the Ju Wen Jun game was pretty high stakes. It probably wasn't the best time to
Yeah. I didn't talk to her, but I know her. I
Okay.
know her and Li Tingji. We didn't talk about chess, but in general, I had a couple of interactions while we were traveling to tournaments. So she's a very positive person, and I like her a lot.
Yeah, that definitely comes across in the media. It seems like either would be a great world champion.
Absolutely. Ju Wenjun is a great person for sure as well.
Yeah. So should be interesting to see the second half here on Perpetual Chess. We will be covering it when the match does come to a conclusion. Now, let me ask you, Big Game, do you have any other sort of big picture things you're looking for? Obviously, all we can do as sort of observers is kind of think about the openings. There's not much else we can
Yeah.
sort of plan, but anything else? Like, do you think that we'll necessarily see like more risk taking throughout the game?
Yeah, I really want to see, but I'm not sure if we are going to see because so far they were trying to play more positional chess and not to go to complicated positions where they're risking to open their like king side or like whenever they could play g5 a couple of times with black. Even Li Tingji, she didn't play. She tried to equalize or exchange the pieces. They are trying to get clarity of the position like as soon as possible, you know? And then this is kind of a little bit upsetting to see, but I do totally understand the situation. For example, for us, it's great if they are risking, but for them, it's not great because they are risking their maybe biggest tournament of their career.
Yeah.
So it's totally understandable they are trying to control the position as much as possible. I would like to see them risking, and now Ju most probably is the one who's gonna try to risk as much as possible, but I cannot predict how much it's gonna be.
Yeah. And of course, if Ju Wenjun does manage to even the score and the game were to go to a tiebreak, do you have a sense, which at this point would be a good outcome for Ju Wenjun, do you have a sense who would be favored as it moved to faster time controls?
I think Ju actually is a great like rapid player as well, and Li Tingji with her opening preparation, it's gonna be equalish, I would say,
Okay.
because now Li Tingji is in a totally different mindset, especially if you win after you win a game of championship match, you're so confident, even if she's gonna go to the this rapid. I think she will be way more confident than Ju Wenjun. That changed a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be tough. Like, as we've
It
said,
is gonna be tough.
Lei Tingjie is going to be, she's going to be hard to beat with only, only a handful, 6 games of chess remaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we will keep our eye on that. But Big Yim, if you don't mind, I'd like to catch up a bit on your career now that I'm a fan since having heard your previous interview.
Thank you so much.
Sure. So, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'd like to ask you a few questions about what you've been up to.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. So, Begim, you were telling me... So, first of all, listeners should definitely check out your interview with John Hartman, if you have not already, to hear Begim's whole story, coming from Uzbekistan and now studying at the University of Missouri. Of course, Christian Kurila, shout out to Christian, is the coach there. And in that interview, you mentioned that you were focusing more on your academics than your chess, but you were looking forward to a period where you could get back to sort of a professional level focus on chess. So dare I ask, Begim, as it's the summer right now, where are you in that sort of balancing act?
Well, I'm happy to say that I'm coming back a little bit because I went to Europe for 1.5 months. I played 3 tournaments there. 2 of them were big ones. I traveled a little bit, of course, with my college friends. But these Norway Chess and Dortmund, they were great open tournaments. And slowly, I'm trying to find my chess strengths, chess weaknesses over again. I want to have fresh look to my games and understand what I should do, what should I work on, because I haven't been playing many tournaments for a long while because of the pandemic and because of my school. I have one more semester left, but slowly I am playing more tournaments and I'm trying to focus a little bit more on chess. So it's going well so far.
Okay, so it sounds like you have some preliminary thoughts in mind, but you haven't like really reviewed your games to know exactly what to take away from them.
I have some takeaways, but they are my weaknesses. I don't want to share them.
Okay. And what about your upcoming schedule? So you will be going back to school. As you said, you have one more semester, but do you have any other tournaments on the horizon first?
Yeah, I'm hoping to play War Teams Championship. We haven't received the lineup yet, but I'm hoping to be in. So I might go to Poland to play War Teams Rapid Championship. Then I want to play US Champs. And after that, in December, I want to play World Blitz and Rapid. So far, I have only 3 tournaments because I have to still graduate.
Right. Well, in the meantime, while you're back, you've got fresh games to look at. I know you're living in, you're spending the summer in St. Louis, so tons of strong chess players around. Are you able to put in much study on your own during this sort of interlude?
Yes and no, because I still, I work for St. Louis Chess Club, so my work takes some time, but I know my weaknesses, so I am trying to improve on them, but it takes time. I'm just trying to play some online games and just, you know, in general, have fun with chess, study it, and then just get new knowledge.
Okay. And for the online games, do you have like a secret account or is it public?
It is public, and in my public account I just don't play that much, but try to play titles Tuesday once, but like I don't hide anything like secret account and anything like that.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't say that.
Is that like, obviously you must talk about it with your St. Louis contemporaries. I know Tatyev's living there now, Kostya Kovutsky, Eric Rosen. Yeah. I mean, you've got, and not to mention all of your contemporaries at University of Missouri. So I'm sure you've got quite a chess network. Like, what's the general advice? Like, are there a lot of your friends are keeping private accounts, or are mostly people playing publicly?
Oh, definitely. Everyone has private accounts. Even I do, but like it's not like I'm hiding away or something like that. I just meant that. For professional chess players in general, they want to test their openings, but they don't want other people to see it.
Right.
So new ideas, new openings. And sometimes if you don't have a training partner, you go and play it online. That's why having a private account helps in such cases.
That makes sense. And so you said you've identified some things. You don't necessarily want to reveal them, which totally makes sense. But in terms of your daily work, is there anything you can reveal? Like, is it more opening based or is it more like sort of calculations, problem solving based?
Yeah, and nowadays I'm reading books,
I
actually
like how
chess
you made a
books.
strange look. Books, like.
I'm not big on chess books, but I figured that I have to read more than I do. In general, I read a lot of like business books, and I love reading, but not necessarily chess books. I love like I'm obsessed playing chess, solving puzzles, and especially playing tournaments are my favorite. But you gotta put some work,
Yeah.
I would say I'm just reading books these
Now,
days.
can any of these books be revealed, or are those secret too?
No, of course. And actually, one book I'm reading is for your strengths. For example, it's not for professional chess players or something, I guess, but it's very helpful for professionals, maybe in some cases. It's just basic positional understanding, which is reassess your chess. So one of my friends recommended to check it, and it's a huge book, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
I got it 2 days ago, so I started reviewing it, and the material is quite easy, but also it gives in general positional understanding of chess, and sometimes it's good to review and good to like get back to basics of positional, and it has great imbalances, positional imbalances too. So I have been enjoying this book.
Nice. Yeah, Jeremy Soman's a good writer. So if nothing else, you
Yes.
shouldn't be bored while reading it, which is my
No, it's a great book. I would recommend to everyone.
excellent. Well, so we've got some tournaments on the docket. It sounds like some secret training going on.
No secret training. It's not going that much. I'm just reading books.
Okay, just reading, reassess your chess. One more semester of school, and then begin. You still believe that when school is done, that's when you had mentioned with John that you're planning on getting back to professional chess at that point.
I at least I'm hoping so, because if I feel like I lost a couple of years doing school, but it was very important for me because as a person, I always wanted to have like more than chess in my life, and I'm grateful for that, but I think it's time to get back.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need me to tell you this, but obviously you're super strong. I mean, I'm looking at your peak rating. You're only 100 points lower than these two
Only,
women.
not only, it's like 100 points. I was there, and then I started my school and I dropped it all. I'm like, oh my God.
Well,
I
as they say, class is permanent. So once you get back
hope
to work,
so.
yeah, when
Yeah, hopefully after the semester I will start working on chess, like in daily basis and more seriously than I'm doing now.
Excellent. And I believe this is my last question, but is you mentioned you're helping the St. Louis Chess Club with their social media. Is that something that will continue even when you go back to school, or is this more like a sort of summer employment opportunity?
No, it will continue when I go to school as well. To be honest, I like social media. It's part of my degree, so I'm glad that I'm using actually my degree and things I learned in class. So it's something I'm enjoying,
So
actually. That's why I'm doing
So
it.
when someone shares a picture like on the St. Louis Chess Club Instagram page, that's you doing it?
Oh, most probably, yeah.
Okay. So everyone be kind and root
Yes,
Bingham on.
please.
Yes,
Yes, please.
as I will be doing. Well, thank you very much for sharing your perspective
Thank
on the
you.
match. Really, everyone check out Chess Life online to see Bingham's continued annotations. And yeah, we'll definitely be rooting for you in your upcoming tournaments.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Enjoy the match and thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay. So yeah, we'll see when I can get this out, hopefully by tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah. Likewise. Yeah. Let's keep in touch and, hopefully
Absolutely.
We can do it again sometime.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I should say.
Sure. Okay. I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks again. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.